class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them. This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden, and Draven. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things. It's a victory Monday, sort of. For me, I mean, I'm snapped and cleared from the Tennessee debacle.
Same.
Of the Volunteer variety. The Titans, the Falcons.
First victory Monday of the year.
First victory Monday of the year, which is actually a loss because you're one win away from you're one win further away from Trevor Lawrence. So congratulations to the Falcons.
We're ten wins away from 11-5.
When you win, you lose. So congrats to the Falcons. That's about right.
Talk to me in the playoffs, dog.
I will. I will. The Titans will be there.
So will we.
Okay, we'll see.
You saw that elite defense.
I saw Adam Thielen almost ready to kill Kirk Cousins.
It's all part of the plan.
That's what I saw. I saw time running out on everyone in Minnesota is what I saw. But it was a good win for the Falcons. Congrats.
Thank you.
The just fire the coach, boom, Lassen. Got you a win.
Mm-hmm.
But as Houston saw yesterday, it doesn't get you two wins. It only gets you one.
It's just Houston.
How are we today? We good, Hayden? Thumbs down. Jeez, what is wrong with you? Again, typical story.
He did pay for the game Saturday.
I paid to go to that slop fest on Saturday. But we don't have to talk about that. The Titans won yesterday. Undefeated.
Never
you
lost.
You paid to go to that game?
Not just the $10 student ticket either.
I bet you wish you guys would have taken the $10 student ticket.
Yeah.
That way you wouldn't have to also like try to go back for A&M.
Yeah. I already paid $10 for the Alabama game on like last Wednesday.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So I was actually surprised I got a ticket, to be honest.
Say what?
I was surprised I got a ticket, to be honest, because I thought the demand would be pretty high. But I'm not going to have fun the rest of the year now.
I'd say a lot of people are kind of hoping they can give it back, give their $10 back, give their ticket back. So you're bad. You paid for a ticket for Saturday. Cam, I assume you're good.
I'm wonderful.
Falcons win. That was kind of a loss.
I'm wonderful. Y'all keep saying that, but we're
that is. How about the chop? Where's the chop at today? Where's the chop at today?
Don't be like that.
They have to die for the Falcons. It's okay.
I'm going to be like that.
Why are you going to be like that?
Because that's all we heard all offseason. Where are the Nationals at? They can't even make the playoffs. They're last in the NL East. Oh, it's the Braves' year. It's the Braves' year. Even though the season doesn't even count.
I'm just going to be honest. No one respects your Washington Nationals fandom.
Okay, whatever. Go ahead.
No one's going to respect your trash talk because no one respects your fandom.
I got the ring. Where's your ring at?
I don't have one.
All right.
I don't even really have a baseball team.
Well, and you don't have an actual ring.
I'm getting one.
Oh, okay.
I'm just the trash talk, it's... That's got to hurt, man. Up 3-1.
I was mad. I got myself mad watching baseball.
Yeah.
I don't even watch baseball, and I was mad watching baseball.
Yeah, that was very frustrating. And it was, I hate to say it, because it's just going to keep, furthering the stereotype, but that was just Atlanta sports, man. Like, the Braves should have blown that game open a couple times. I mean, you could not have scripted a better start.
Mm-hmm.
Of a walk, a steal.
8 straight balls.
Another walk. Then you get a RBI single, and you're like, okay, here we go. First 3 batters. We got 1 in. We still got 2 on. Dustin May looks awful. Opie shouldn't have started. Whoop. He's not ready. And then Darnold hits into a double play, as he did absolutely nothing this series. He hits it to a double play. You only get one run. And if you're the Dodgers, like, okay, we can breathe now. We are sort of back in this game. The Braves then get, they end up getting the game tied back. Dansby hits a home run. You know, a lot of people are upset with the shift. is a little hard to do a shift whenever you got runners in scoring position. Like, I get it, but like, it's just a really wide hole between first and second, and you had a Will Smith, the catcher, right?
Yep.
You had him just slap a single that probably should have been an out into a two RBI single, ties the game. And then the next thing, the Braves battle back, like, hey, here we go. Got a, you know, a run in, second and third, about to blow this open, and just the absolute worst base running you'll ever see.
Oh, man.
The absolute worst base running you'll ever see. And it's just kind of funny because Ron Washington is talking about how he wants to be a manager again. And I'm just like, bro, I can't watch what you did base running this series and give you a job as a manager.
I don't think he told Dansby to go, though, to be honest.
I don't know. Then what's he doing?
He looks like he was going on contact. Which
well, I know, but like, is that not something you talk about like on third base? Is that not a strategy? Like, hey, we're going on contact here? Like, I feel like that has to be discussed. If not, what the hell is he doing over there?
I don't know if that's discussed or not when you're in
the MLB. I feel like it should be. I feel like it should be in a
but
playoff
also,
situation.
They were playing the shift, too. The Dodgers were in it. And Dansby might have thought that the ball was through.
Well, that, again, that's something that I don't know. Just I feel like the third base coach is there for a reason. And if you're not going to blame Dansby, like, he has to know. He has to be like focused on Austin Riley then.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, just stop on second, bro. Or come immediately to third. Like, let's just give up this one out and like and have somebody on third. And instead, you have the worst double play possible that you could have. An infield hit gets your runner on third and second out. And, you know, I think at that point, every Atlanta fan knew, like, okay, we're not winning this game. And that doubt kind of creeped back in your mind. Draven, do me a favor. Jerry Pruitt is addressing the media right now. Round up anything important. I already saw one quote about how they had the best practice they've ever had. Okay, save it. It's record time how quickly we got from I like Jerry Pruitt to I don't like Jerry Pruitt. Like, I'm not saying fire Jerry Pruitt, although like I feel like you saw the first real sign of problems.
What's happened every year.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to me, that was the worst.
Yeah, it is.
To me, Saturday was the worst. I know Georgia State was embarrassing, whatever. To me, Saturday was 10 times worse than Georgia State. 10 times worse.
Had good seats, though. My favorite seats in the whole stadium, to be honest.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Where at?
First row of the upper deck on the north end.
Should have got last row of the upper seats. Should have got last row of the upper deck. It would have been easier just to hop over the side.
Yeah.
They got like a little guard there. If you're sitting in the front, they don't let you do it. So
you could get over the guard.
Mm-hmm.
You could.
It's real far out there. You got to jump over the video.
I mean, if you wanted to, you could jump over into the other thing, and then like, what are they going to do? There's nothing that's going to catch you. I mean, if it catches you, then you just get up and jump off that. Like,
I feel like that wouldn't do any damage if you jumped that high. Hey, it would do some damage, but it wouldn't finish the job, you know?
I don't know. It'd be painful.
Yeah, it'd be painful.
You're not going to die instantly.
I don't think it's going to kill you. If you jump on the back,
you may die instantly.
Sure.
Just go head first.
Then
stadium
we get
empty this year.
We get the worst performance that Tennessee has had, and we follow it up with a midnight news dump of Tennessee firing their defensive line coach, Jimmy Brumbaugh. Brumbaugh, however the hell you say his name, I don't know. Has Pruitt addressed that yet, Draven?
No, I haven't seen anything about that yet.
I guess that'll be the question portion. I mean, many people are saying that it's a head-scratching move, that there must be something new to it, that they're trying to find out reasons why. I think there's rumors going around that they think it's like he was refusing to wear a mask. I don't know. How stupid could that have been? But, I mean, if the school's getting fined, what was it going to be, $1 million?
It was $100,000
at first. But then
like, and
okay,
then it could go up to $1 million, I think.
To me, that seems stupid. I don't know what the reason was. I didn't feel like, I mean, there's plenty of other position units on the offensive side of the ball. Or even on the defensive side of the ball. Like, to me, the one position unit I haven't really had any problems with is the defensive line. I feel like the defensive line has played about as good as they could. Now, whether or not this Brumbaugh guy is recruiting, I don't know. I know that some people are hoping that the Tosh Lapoy guy that's from Alabama, that was the big ace recruiter that's with the Atlanta Falcons, who didn't make the trip to Minnesota, that's on the fired staff of Dan Quinn, hoping that he could be in play. And that, you know, they have this pipe dream of Jerry Pruitt going and hiring him, and he'd be the, you know, the second best recruiter in the SEC, probably.
He did address it, Pruitt did. He said, yesterday I decided to make a change at the D-line position. Sometimes from a philosophical standpoint, things are just not a fit. And Pruitt says he will coach the D-line the rest of the season.
Glad we're paying somebody else $830,000 to not coach here.
Yeah, I believe he's getting an $830,000 buyout is the reported number to leave. After, again, four games of not really being the problem, and it happening a week before you go up against the best team on your schedule.
Has Pruitt ever coached D-line before?
I'm sure he has at some point or worked with him. I'm sure he's got some experience with him as a defense coordinator. Like, maybe not like as the only, you know, official D-line coach. I don't think that, because he's more of a secondary guy. But I would say that he has experience coaching defensive linemen. But then I just ask, like, why fire him and give him $830,000 to go away?
Kind of feels like a panic move.
Well, again, like, to me, like, there's other positions that are a bigger issue. Like, I know you can't fire yourself, Jerry Pruitt, but I mean, like, your secondary is still giving up a wide open slant route. Like, it's four games in, and Tennessee hasn't figured out how to cover the middle of the field.
That frustrates me very much.
And it's one thing if it's happening when Sean Schamberger's out the first couple games. You're like, okay, I'm not really worried about it. It's another thing if it happens against Georgia, and you're just like, okay, well, we got to defend everything because they're so talented. It's another thing entirely when it's Terry Wilson picking you apart.
I mean,
and your defensive backs outside of Bryce Thompson don't look like they know what the hell they're doing.
I mean, we even knew Georgia could only throw across the middle.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that was all they could do, but at least you could make the argument of, like, well, we still got to respect the run, or we still got to respect the dump downs and the flats. I don't know. I'm just saying it's one thing when it's Georgia doing it with all the talent. It's another when it's Kentucky and Terry Wilson.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
So I know you can't really fire yourself, Pruitt. And, like, I don't know who's coaching the linebackers, but I feel like you got to tell them, like, hey, we got to figure out how to cover people. But sure, let's fire the defensive line coach who just got here that, again, has the guys playing pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah.
For the group of guys you gave him, because let's face it, we've been talking about it for 2 or 3 years, haven't really recruited well on the defensive line. That's been an issue. Where's the studs on the defensive line, Jeremy? It happened quickly. Like, I don't want to come on here. I'm not fire Pruitt guy. I'm not going to do that. Although I was going to say there's no firing somebody in a pandemic year, but hell, we just cut some $830,000 check to go away. Yeah. So maybe there is firing in a pandemic year. But I'm just looking, and I'm like, that seems like you are completely missing the point. You are misdiagnosing the problem of this football team. We'll do our last segment of Tennessee football for the week after the break. I'm not talking about this.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm not talking
cool with
about
that
stupid team anymore. There's nothing else to say, in my opinion. We'll do it next, live from the White Claw Studios. Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight.
Hey-o.
Drinking some White Claw from 5 to 11, huh? That's how
power
you do a Monday.
It, power it.
That's how you do a Monday. Just drink some White Claw from 5 to 11. 8 delicious flavors. You can pick you up a 12-pack, a 6-pack. You can go to the bar and order White Claw. Almost every bar has them these days.
They got them.
Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
I thumb my way from L.A. back to Knoxville. I found out those bright lights ain't where I belong. From a phone booth.
This song is making me sad today. Draven, what we got from the press conference? Jerry Pruitt talking about the quarterback position.
Yeah, he says they're going to evaluate it.
Wait, we have quarterbacks?
Apparently. Surprise, surprise. But yeah, he says we're going to continue to evaluate the position as the week goes.
It's like I've said, if you have four quarterbacks, you have zero. I truly think we have zero quarterbacks.
I think so as well.
Unless you're Arkansas State, then they have two that are beasts.
I don't want to hear about Arkansas State, Hayden. I don't want to hear about it. Don't speak to me about any college football teams ever again. The outside of Tennessee.
I don't want to talk about Tennessee either. So none
yeah,
of them.
Yeah. Well, then you sit over there and think about what you've done to all of us this last 3 or 4 days.
I'm truly sorry.
Turn off the mic.
So he said, "What about the quarterback position?"
We are going to. We'll continue to evaluate that position as the week goes.
So who cares?
Yeah. Kind
of. It's. Whatever. I feel I was really just mad on Saturday, and I'm just like, we've been having these same damn discussions for 4 years. How are we still having the same discussions for four years later? How are we doing that? How is that a thing?
Life's a great question.
Like, we've been arguing about our quarterback, number two, Garantano, for 4 years.
No respect on his name.
Doesn't deserve it anymore. Like, how are we still having the same discussion? How do you not have an alternative in year three at the quarterback position? How do you not have somebody ready to go to at least push this guy? Because you threw JT Stroud in there, and look, you didn't even really give him a chance to succeed. You had him throw, the pass he threw was about as bad as it gets. But, like,
oh
hey,
my gosh,
how about
yeah.
we, like, give the guy a chance? How about we run, like, a play action and just let him throw? Like, we saw the one throw he had to, you know, get South Carolina last year. Like, I mean, give him a chance, get a receiver down the field. Or throw a little quick pop pass to Velus Jones coming out of a jet sweep. Like, let him get a completion. Let him get some confidence. Instead, you go run and, okay, let's just throw a kind of a play that doesn't do him any favors. And he'll make a terrible decision, throw it to the sideline, throw a pick. And then we're going to pull him immediately. Like, how do we have zero options at quarterback right now? Like, you can't keep running number two out there. It's over.
Seems like a pretty important position, too, to usually have settled down, but we do not. Yes. Oh, man, that was rough. That was rough. Like,
And, like, you just get here, and you're in a position now where, I mean, you saw it. I mean, Hayden, you might have been too drunk at the game. Maybe you were just in your emotions. Maybe you're emotionally just drunk and devastated at the side of Tennessee, because that's the only way I could have sat there in the stadium. I can't imagine going to that game and just not being wanting to either throw yourself off the back or standing at the concession line drinking all of your pain away.
Seeming like it's a dream.
Just like, I'm punch drunk. I wanted to just, somebody's punched me in the head 50 times. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how else you could sit at that game, so maybe you didn't notice it. Cam, maybe you were too busy working. Draven, I don't know what your situation was, but I was sitting there on the couch and I was just like, this team has quit.
That's what they looked like in the second half for sure.
That was the most disappointing. Sure. After halftime, after all that, getting the touchdown before half, like, you know, that was when you needed to turn it on, and they just still look like the same team.
I simply said, hell, it must have been a hell of a halftime speech by Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah. That's what I said to my group text, and I just turned the TV off and was like, I'm done with this. Like, you come out, and all year long you've gone for fourth and ones, no matter where you're out on the field, and you punt. On fourth and one and a half from your 33. Like, I get it.
Bro, oh, man, that made me so angry.
Like, if you ask Jeremy Pruitt, I know what he'll say. I know he'll give you the same cliche answer of, we trusted our defense against Kentucky. They hadn't really moved the ball. They had three offensive points. But then Kentucky took advantage of a defense that had no confidence in their offense and drove right down your throat the entire second half. I don't feel like you stopped Kentucky once in the second half. You might have, but I don't think you did. So, again, you came out, you go three and out, you have a situation where, again, you've gone for it every time this year. You desperately need a spark, you need a reason to believe, and you punt the ball. And don't get me started on the punter.
No.
This is the worst punter I've ever seen in Tennessee.
He's very bad.
This is the worst punter I've ever had on my favorite team.
Please bring me Trevor Daniel back.
I mean, like, what's wrong with Joe Doyle? I feel like Joe Doyle was he not a freshman All-American? Like,
he was better than this guy.
And, like, Joe Doyle's still on the team. Like, I mean, like, how are we still trotting out the punter right now who can't kick the ball further than 40 yards in the air? And I don't want to make it personal and single anybody out, but, like, when I'm criticizing the punting game, like, there's only one guy I can criticize. You know what I mean? Like, if I criticize the kicking game, guess what? It's going to be Samaglia. But, I mean, he hasn't even got a chance to kick, really. So, again, I don't want to single anybody out, but the punting game isn't getting it done. And like I said, it seemed like you quit. And you quit because your offense – like, I think Tennessee's defense is still good. Which is, to me, funny, like, that you're firing your defensive line coach, because I think the defense is still good, but the defense can only take so much before they're like, you know what, this is not worth it, or I'm not going to be as motivated as possible. And you know what that breaking point is? The breaking point is when you start looking at Tennessee's last three halves of football.
Oh, boy.
Really, their last half, like their last full game, from the second half of Georgia to the first half of Kentucky, that was pretty much all you needed to see. They threw on a whole bunch of ineptitude in the second half of Kentucky just to drive the point home. Let's see. I think it's David Ubben from The Athletic has, you know, put these numbers together and laid them out perfectly for you in his article on The Athletic. The past three halves of football, Tennessee has scored 7 points. Tennessee has allowed their opponents to score 21 points via two pick sixes and a fumble scooped for a touchdown. So your offense has lost you 14 points net.
Nice.
And three halves of football. Tennessee has had 19 drives the last three halves of football. They have one touchdown, three defensive touchdowns, seven turnovers. Two of those, or to add two more to turnovers on down, so nine times you've turned the ball over, and eight punts. That's it. And then one where the game ended. Like, it's just complete ineptitude on offense. And you can have people clamoring for a quarterback change. But like I said, you don't have one of the four right now. Like,
exactly.
Brian Maurer's not going to see the field. It's not going to happen. You saw what they think of JT Stroud. Like, they only put him in after three turnovers. Like, it took a fumble and two pick sixes before, like, okay, JT Stroud, you get out there. And then he turned the ball over, and you're like, okay, well, you're back on the bench. Then you throw Harrison Bailey in. He makes one pretty good throw on the sideline to Weidman. It's really just an awesome catch, but it was a good throw. And then he has a couple. He just sails over the end zone. You're like, okay, this guy doesn't seem like he's very good either. And I think, like, if you're Jerry Pruitt, the worst thing you can do this year is let everybody know that Harrison Bailey's not very good.
I agree. Oh, yeah. I agree. That's why everybody was calling for him, but I'm just like, I don't know if you want to put him out there. It's a death sentence to you as a coach if you put him out there and he's terrible.
Because then you're going to look around and we're going to be like, man, we don't have a quarterback still. We have no quarterback of the future. We better hope Caden Salter is good as a true freshman, but when's the last time that's happened for Tennessee? 2004?
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Ainge and Brent Schaefer, that's the last time that's happened where you've thrown a freshman quarterback out there and felt good about him. Other than Tyler Bray whenever he got to show out against Memphis and Ole Miss. Right?
Yeah. I didn't feel terrible about Dobbs when we threw him out there against Alabama.
Sure, but I mean, like,
but they didn't want to play him that year.
Yeah. I mean, like, he didn't have the starting job his sophomore year either. Like, he went back to the bench.
Yep.
And he was another situation. Like, well, they don't really want to throw him out there either. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of an emergency situation, and he played pretty well. Yeah.
At least he was a gamer. They said he practiced bad, but at least he was a gamer. Yeah. Like, every time you put him out there on the field, he was a gamer.
But like I said, for some reason, he went into his sophomore year still on the bench. We went back to Justin Morley, who couldn't run a read option offense, a spread option offense, whatever you want to call it. Like, we went back to that. So, like, I think the worst thing that can happen is you throw Harrison Bailey out there and he just looks bad. And I think he will look bad. Yeah. And then I think he'll come back around. Like, I know Tennessee's doing these scrimmages now where they're getting these young guys reps, but, like, during the game you had the commentators talking about Pruitt telling them he didn't have time to get Harrison Bailey ready. He can only focus on two quarterbacks, not four. That was a quote during the game. Hayden, you were there, so you might not have heard that. They were talking about when Harrison Bailey was in. Pruitt was mad because, you know, the COVID and the offseason got, you know, abbreviated and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, he came in, and I don't have time to waste on a four-string quarterback. I only got time to worry about two. So then you have this, you know, this four/five-star quarterback in. That doesn't look like a four or five-star quarterback. He has it in camp. If he did, he'd be in the game by now. Mm-hmm. And he was the third guy in. He was in mop-up duty. So I think the worst thing you can do if you're Jerry Pruitt is throw him out there and him not be good. Because then you have nothing to sell. You have no hope for anybody.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's best option at quarterback is probably playing at Cedar Hill High School right now. Because he can actually move around the pocket.
Put Justin Holliday in.
That's Caden Salter.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Put Justin Holliday in. Let Holliday run around.
I mean, that's what I said on Saturday, and that's where I'm standing by. Like, that's what I want to see.
Holiday run around?
Yeah, let's put Holiday in there.
I mean, what?
I swear.
Is it going to get worse from here?
I acknowledge that it is a full redneck take, and I realize it is stupid, and he is your fifth-string quarterback, but I do not care.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's he going to do? Throw two pick sixes?
I mean, seriously. Like, I mean, like, there's no lower place we can go as a quarterback. And I swear to God, I'm being honest with you. I don't want to watch another snap of Jarrett Garantano the rest of the year, the rest of my life.
No, he'll be back next year.
He would not be back next year.
They will not let him come back last year, too. I think we kind of knew deep down he'd come back this year. I thought he would transfer.
I thought he would transfer last year. I think in hindsight, he probably wishes he would have transferred because he could have left the Tennessee. I don't want to say a Tennessee hero, but like you could have walked out with your head held high like, hey, I salvaged my career. He was like Reek.
We would have looked bad
in Game of Thrones. It's like I talked about with Reek. Like he came back. He saved the day. He took a stab to save Bran after abandoning the family and making everybody mad. Spoiler alert! Like he was there to defend the king at the last moment. Who ended up being the king? I guess he wasn't the king at the time, but you get it. He defended the little wheelchair boy. He defended him, and he died admirably. And he went out on his sword. And you're like, you know what? Good job by you. What a character arc. And that could have been it for Garantano. He comes back. He leaves Tennessee on a 6-game winning streak, a 5-game winning streak, whatever it was.
And we saw our quarterbacks this year, and we would have missed him.
Well, no, I think it would have forced the coach and staff, like, hey, we have to go get a grad transfer.
Oh, yeah.
Which would have been great for everybody. Like, I mean, like, you know, like Felipe Franks, Jake Bentley, Jamie Newman. Yeah, I mean,
I'll take Heisman winner Jamie Newman.
JT Daniels. I mean, like, Georgia took in 2 grad transfer quarterbacks. Because they were actively trying to improve their team. And we looked at our quarterback room and said, it'll be all right.
They know how to football.
And no, they don't know how to football. And we have nobody on the team who can football from the quarterback position.
Nope.
And, like, if you're mad at Jeremy Pruitt after 3 years, then that's where you start. And that's really all you have to go. That's really, like, that and, like, I mean, you can tell he's feeling the pressure now because he's throwing Jim Chaney under the bus after the game.
Oh, boy.
He's, instead of criticizing the quarterback, criticizing the people for not being able to tackle somebody on a pick six.
definitely their job, usually, yes. Make tackles offense.
He is blaming COVID for the lack of practice, despite Kentucky. You know, they looked pretty good on Saturday.
Wow, it's like everybody had to deal with COVID or something. Crazy.
Right. I mean, it's just been one excuse after another after this game, and I'm just like, man, this is a sign of a guy who feels like the walls are closing in. And then Sunday night, you get the panic firing of a defensive line coach who, unless there's something behind the scenes that they just don't want to talk about, did nothing wrong. And it's just think about the difference of how you feel now compared to how you felt at halftime of the Georgia game. I think it's night and day different.
Mm-hmm.
It's heaven and hell. It's yin and yang. It's love and hate. Actually, it's probably more like love and apathy for me. Like, I don't care. And I don't know how other people feel. Like, I don't care about what happens against Alabama. I'm not going to subject myself to that on Saturday.
I'm a Marshall football fan.
You're a Marshall football fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marshall and Coastal Carolina. Those are my teams.
I'm a Coastal Carolina fan now. I enjoy their offense.
I don't care. Don't talk to me about Coastal Carolina, Hayden.
Why can't I talk about Coastal Carolina?
I told you to stay.
You were wrong about Coastal Carolina.
I wasn't wrong.
We were right.
I wasn't wrong. I didn't bet on them. I'm saying simply don't talk to me about that level of football anymore. Because all I'm going to think about is Georgia State and Arkansas State, so stop it. Just stop it.
Marshall hasn't let me down this year.
So, I mean, like, I'd imagine there's a lot of people that feel similar to the way I feel, which is I'm not subjecting myself to that anymore. Do you have any final thoughts on Tennessee football for the week?
I think Harrison Bailey's not that good, to be honest.
I don't think he is either.
Do you want to hear his high school offense real quick? Who was on his team?
Oh, he was. I knew he was overrated coming in. I mean,
okay, number one wide receiver, 5-star, number 5 in the country, Gatorade Player of the Year, Eric Gilbert, 3-star wide receiver, plays for Michigan State now. 3-star wide receiver, plays for Boston College now. 3-star running back, plays for Troy now, and him. That's pretty good offense.
A bunch of D1 people, yeah.
5 D1 players in an offense. Pretty good in high school, I'd say.
Yeah. No, I watched my high school play them, and I was like, oof, this kid is not as good as everybody's saying.
Pretty easy to throw to a wide receiver when he's 20 yards past him
already. I will say he had some good throws. I mean, I saw some highlights where he had good throws. And, I mean, maybe he helped get some of those guys those offers by being there. But still, you're right. I mean, like, he had talent around him. And, here's all you had to ask me, Hayden. Do I want to see his high school offense? No, I don't, because I don't give a damn what you do in high school. Like, I don't care. Like, I mean, he's not Mike Vick out there running around them. Like, I'll listen to that.
Yeah. No, Lamar like, I mean, Jackson.
I don't care what you do in high school. You got to do it in college. And I don't think Harrison Bailey is going to be any good either, like, this year. Could he be good next year? Maybe. But, like, hell, we haven't developed quarterbacks for 4 years. Why start now? Draven, any final thoughts on Tennessee for the week?
Just disappointing, man. Just disappointing. I will say that Pruitt did say he's not ready to put Garantano on the shelf yet. So
you know why? Because he has nobody to go to.
Else, yeah.
That's you can't what put I've him been on the trying shelf to
you
tell
got,
people.
You got nobody else to go to.
That's what I've been trying to tell
the
people.
D. Beckwith Wildcat.
I'd say that's Justin Holiday. I'm a Justin Holiday stand now.
Jimmy,
whatever his name is. I'm all about the holidays.
I mean, that's what Mark Stoops would have done. Yeah, he did that last year.
Yeah, shoot, give us a receiver back there. Yeah,
and found a way to get what 8-9 wins. I mean,
what 8-4? I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes you just gotta suck it up and adapt.
I mean, if we don't throw all those interceptions, we're probably right there in the ball game, right? Oh. It'd just be a low scoring defensive battle.
Yeah,
that's all
yeah. They would like your defense wouldn't have quit, and it would have been a close game. And I think you could have done enough to win that game. Like you could run the ball on them. Jim Chaney just simply did not want to run the ball against them. He wanted to show that he can pass the ball. And for some reason, we take a quarterback who is not accurate, and we make him throw five-yard passes. And Jerry Pruitt's not wrong. Throwing the ball 35 yards to get 4 yards with Jared Garantano is a stupid idea, as we saw with the pick six. But also, like, we're making him throw, you know, 6-yard passes against zones and, like, 12-yard passes against zones. We know Jared Garantano has one good throw, and that's the deep ball.
And why did we not push it deep at all?
Because we are stupid.
You could see the Kentucky corners literally sitting on these routes. They were sitting on that out route. There was nobody pressing vertical, and I didn't get that. Especially after Georgia, when we pushed them vertical, and look at the success we had.
Not only that, Draven, but especially when like you can run the ball, and like you should be able to at least get like play action, like one-on-one coverage, and like especially like in situations, you know, if you throw an interception, so what? Like he obviously threw interceptions on the short passes. I'd rather throw them deep down the field. But Tennessee is now going to be trying to make a search for a defensive line coach. Maybe Jerry Pruitt will just coach them next year, too. Save some money. That'd be my requirement if I was Philip Fulmer. You want to fire him? Fine. You're not getting another assistant. You're going to have to do this job. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to coach defensive line next year. No extra money. It's going to be a dumber search. This segment was brought to you by Smarter Searches. Now providing our web hosting. And they are helping us out here. They can help you out as well. Go to smartersearches.com. No matter the industry, Smarter Searches has you covered for all your SEO, web design, social media management, and PPC needs. And there's no outsourcing. Everything is done in-house. They help business transition to a more online-focused strategy in a contact-free, touchless world. Smartersearches.com, located right here in Knoxville. Because I know we're going to do a dumb search. Yeah.
Get at them, Pruitt. You need them.
And for the people talking about the upcoming coaching search, whenever we fire Pruitt, either this year or next year or whatever, it's going to be a dumb search, too. You're not going to hire anybody any good. Like,
I hate coaching
stupid.
Searches.
I want Coastal's coach.
I'll take Coastal so or Marshall's stupid. Right
now. Just go to break. I'm done. It's the last time I'm talking Tennessee football the rest of the week.
I wanted PJ Fleck so bad.
It's the last time I'm talking about him next week. No thanks. I'm done. Like I have nothing to say.
Even on Friday?
Even on Friday? You think I want to?
Especially on Friday.
Especially on Friday.
We can project how many yards Jalen Waddle's going to have against us.
Jalen Waddle's going to have 180 yards.
And Devonta Smith?
At minimum.
He'll have 150. Like, they're going to.
Over-under set at 350.
Bama's dropping 60 on their heads, and then Arkansas is going to drop 40 on us.
The fact that Tennessee came in as only, like, it opened at 17-point underdogs, and it got up to 20 pretty quick.
Yeah,
like,
I bet on Alabama. Very fast.
It's just going to be a disaster. And I know I'm not going to talk about it. I have nothing else to say about it. Unless there's like huge breaking news. Like I'm sure there might be another coaching change coming. I don't know. Who knows?
Who cares?
Pruitt's saying if you know it's not going to work, why wait? Like, I mean, like, well, buddy, got some news for you. Got some news for you. But either way, like if there's some breaking news, sure, we'll let you know. But I'm not talking about it. You guys can break the news. I have nothing else to say. I'm focused on my winning team. My team that's undefeated, that just keeps winning games. That's who I'm focused on.
Yeah.
Titans.
My team is going to go 11-5. We riding.
You get to live that for one more week. Who you guys got next week?
Lions.
Lions look pretty good yesterday.
I'll be in the stands watching.
All right. Chance to get to two. Get further away from Trevor Lawrence.
Exactly.
Some bad Titans breaking news coming up after the break as well. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
girl.
Bad breaking news for the Titans.
Uh-oh.
I assume Hayden's not going to hit
that
one.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we got Taylor the One, starting left tackle, out for the year, torn ACL.
Oof. Good thing y'all drafted one, right? Yeah?
I mean, eventually he might get in and play, but he's not going to play anytime soon, and you are going up against the best defensive line in the league next week in terms of a huge game for first place in the AFC.
And I believe when Luan went out, that's when J.J. Watt had that strip sack, wasn't it?
It is. Which, I mean, it was the very first play, I'm pretty sure. The very first play after. Which afterwards, see, that guy replacement, I can't say his name. It's a long, weird name. Sombrelli or something like that.
Oh, let me find
Sombrelli,
it.
I think it is.
Oh, the guy from the Falcons. Yeah. Y'all took him?
Yeah. Which, once he came in.
Oh, boy. Our boy Ty over there, yeah?
Once he came in, he gave up a strip sack fumble. But after that, he kind of settled down and did pretty well run blocking. And they also started giving him a little help, which that's something you're going to have to do against the Steelers anyways.
I'm very sorry you have to play him.
I mean, he played okay.
Yeah, that's how he gets you.
I mean, it's better than not having anybody out there.
That's fair enough.
Like the one, obviously, a Pro Bowl type of tackle, but he's out. And you know, you hope your first-round pick can eventually get in there and play, but I want to say they drafted Isaiah Wilson to be a right tackle, by the way, too. So like that even creates a problem. Like I don't know if he can play the left side. It's a little bit different of a position, right? I mean, especially whenever you are getting drafted to a team with a right-handed quarterback, like you can't just necessarily plug your tackle. Sometimes you'll have guys that are interchangeable, but sometimes they're not, right? With the right tackle and left tackle,
yeah,
a different skill set. And I do know like Dennis Kelly, who's playing right tackle for us, he's not very good at left tackle. So, like, I think that's going to be an issue the rest of the year regardless.
Yeah.
Which maybe the Titans go out and get a veteran. Maybe they go out and get a veteran, trade for a veteran. Because this team is going to have Super Bowl aspirations.
Well, lucky for you, that Ty Sambraglio guy,
uh-huh,
he does have the longest touchdown by a 300-plus-pound person in NFL history.
How long is it?
It was like 35 yards last year against Tampa. We threw him a pass, and he was gone.
Okay.
It's an X factor out there.
Yeah, exactly. If you need an extra tight end, he's got you.
All right.
I'm blanking on the guy's name that was playing for the Titans that went to the Browns. What's his name?
Conklin. Jack Conklin.
Could he have played left tackle or not? I know he played right tackle last year, obviously. But
he would have been serviceable.
I don't know. Like I said, he never really had to because Luan was never really out. Like when Luan was out suspended, like Conklin stayed at right tackle and they put Kelly at left tackle and it didn't go very well.
Yeah.
But I mean, like we couldn't pay him that big of money. I know some Titans fans have been talking about that, but like you needed you couldn't pay him what Cleveland paid him, and you made the right decision of drafting a tackle. It's just so far your tackle hasn't been very responsible and doesn't look like he's going to be a part of the game plan type of thing. So like you kept Dennis Kelly, you paid him to stay there at the right tackle position. But, I mean, it's just something the Titans are going to have to overcome. There's injuries everywhere. I mean, like, the team the Titans are playing this week, they lost their defensive leader. Right? With Bush being out.
Yep.
Like, he's out. He goes down with an ACL. So, like, the Steelers are going to have to overcome that as well. And, like I said, he is their defensive leader. He might not be their best player. I mean, that might be Minkah Fitzpatrick or T.J. Watt. But, I mean, Bush is every bit as good as them. And, like, your signal caller in the middle. So, like, that's a huge loss. So neither team's coming in 100%, but both teams are coming in undefeated with a seat at the 5-0 club.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's getting bounced out before 6-0, though. Steelers open up as a 1.5-point favorite. They looked good yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
That was one of the games I was wrong about. I thought Cleveland could go in and score enough points. And, you know, I guess, not to make any excuses, but, I mean, Baker Mayfield's ribs must have been really, really killing him with how terribly he played. I mean,
he's not good at football right now.
No, I know. And they just refuse to criticize him either. Like, they just defend Baker. And, you know, like I said, if you're out there playing, everyone's got hurt ribs. Go out there and play better. Like, I mean, just play better. And, like, they couldn't run the ball. Pittsburgh shut them down, and Cleveland had nothing for them. So the Steelers are coming in riding hot. Meanwhile, the Titans, they got to, you know, 5-0, and they had to do so in dramatic fashion as they kind of fell apart there for a bit. Like, there was a moment, they're up 21-10, they're driving, they give up a sack, they get a field goal blocked, and next thing you know, it's 21-17. Before you know it, you're down 4 points instead of going up 18. It was a quick swing, and then you're in a dogfight the rest of the way, and your defense still can't really stop anybody.
How concerned are you about that defense?
I keep saying just let Adoree get healthy and let, like, Christian Fulton get some more
what's
reps.
What's the deal with Adoree? I mean, I feel like he's – was he supposed to be out this long?
Well, he went to the short-term IR, so, like, I mean, he was supposed to be out at least 3 games. Yeah. And then I think the – I honestly think they probably thought they didn't need him this week type of thing. Like, I'd be surprised if he wasn't playing against Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll see, but, like, I would be surprised if he wasn't back against Pittsburgh. So I keep saying, like, I'll wait on the secondary for that, but it does feel a little bit like we kept saying, wait for Schamberger to get here, and then eventually Tennessee will stop stopping slant passes, which I know I said that was the last thing I was going to say, but that's the last thing I'm going to say. Just a comparison. So, like, you know, like, maybe Adoree comes back and all of a sudden it fixes it. But the Texans still have some weapons on offense, and Will Fuller looks good. And
can we admit that Deshaun Watson is still really good?
He's pretty good.
He's not better than Tannehill.
I mean, okay, that's a debate. That's a debate.
I don't think it's a debate.
No.
I think if you watch that game, you saw one quarterback who was better than the other, and the one that was better than the other one is the white one that was on the Titans.
Whoa, no, I disagree. I think Deshaun was better than Tannehill. Tannehill had a 200-yard rusher behind him.
And?
Just saying. It helps when you can run the football. Houston couldn't really run the football, and it was just Deshaun.
He also threw for 350 yards.
Deshaun threw for what, 340, 340?
Okay, that's fine.
20 yards difference. And Deshaun also was the one that brought him back. You could say...
No! The sack put him on the 5-yard line. They were down 4 points with the ball on the 5-yard line.
Deshaun brought him back in that game.
You
they should have won. They should have won.
Speaking of brought him back, Ryan Tannehill, his fourth game-winning drive. He really had a game-tying drive and a game-winning drive. I mean, that to go a minute and 20 seconds down the field with one timeout masterfully. If Patrick Mahomes pulled the play he did at the 5-yard line throwing that touchdown with the fake spike, it would be all over sports. It would be all over the place. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, what a play. Oh, Russell Wilson. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. And say it was just Ryan Tannehill. Business as usual. Oh, we sure he got his foot down? And all we talked about was A.J. Brown. We didn't talk about how smooth Ryan Tannehill was in that situation of, like, wait, we're spiking it. No, shotgun. My guy versus your guy. Ball right on the money. A.J. Brown touchdown.
Listen. I'm not trying to take away.
Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not
trying
to take away from Tannehill.
Look at him. He didn't look at the ball. He didn't look at the guy he was throwing it to.
It was a great play. Tannehill, that was a great play. I'm not trying to take away from Tannehill. But to say there's this huge, massive gap, I mean, Tannehill, I agree. I think he's around that top 5 mark as an NFL quarterback. But I think Deshaun's still top 10.
Deshaun's
still top 10.
That's fine.
So there's not that huge of a gap.
Deshaun might be top 10. That's fine. He's not bearing Tannehill. No. Tannehill's top 3. Goodbye, Aaron Rodgers. You're out of here. You're out of the club. You're out of the club.
After he threw his first pick 6 since, what was it, 2017?
Well, that was really
then he almost threw him one right immediately after that.
That was really 2 pick 6s. That put him on the 2-yard line.
Now, the second one, I will say, like, it went off Adams' hands. Like, you got to catch the ball, Adams. But, like, it's not like Aaron Rodgers played good after that. Which, by the way, I did feel a little vindicated because I said a couple weeks ago, like, the Bucs were my team in the NFC that I think is the most well-rounded because of their defense. And you saw that defense, like, full display yesterday, which made me really mad because I bet a lot of money on the Packers. I was like, you knew that Tampa was a legit defense. I got thrown off by that Bears game.
Well, I just think they just quit after the 2 picks. Like,
I don't think they quit. I just think they couldn't block them. I just think they couldn't block them.
Tiari got hurt, and it was just like,
That's when it went bad.
Who cares?
The Packers are good for one no-show. They did that last year against the Chargers, too. They just completely no-showed.
That's not the stat where they lost the bye week last year, too.
So I think it was the Chargers game, I think, where they just completely showed up and just got destroyed. Maybe that's the problem of a young coach. Like, you don't know how to handle the bye week.
Yeah.
Like Andy Reid maximizes the bye week. They kick people's ass after the bye week. Maybe young coaches don't know what you're supposed to be doing.
Who the Packers play next week?
I don't know.
They're going to destroy him. Rodgers looked pissed after the game last time.
And they probably will bounce back. I want to say they played somebody pretty decent. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Destroy him.
Not decent, but just a team that I was looking at. Like, okay, yeah, the Packers should win that game. And go ahead and bury the Texans. No, Watson looked good. What do you think about Romeo Crennel's decision to go for 2 up 7?
I like it.
I didn't like it.
I like it.
That's what I do at Madden.
Yep.
Really? When you're up 7, you go for 2?
Yeah, I try to end the game. Especially like with a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it was an open play. You got
that ball. Was it Simmons?
It was Simmons.
Yeah. It was open. It was a Cobb wide open.
I don't know if it was Simmons or not, but Simmons.
Somebody in the interior.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like they had ran the. They had just basically ran that play for a touchdown on fourth and goal.
Are you not good at defense on Madden?
I just feel like it's the same thing. Like you take your chance.
I think you got to look at the other team you're playing too. Like if you're the Texans, look across the field. You got Derrick Henry trying to get 2 yards on a 2-point conversion. He's gonna get it. So you might as well try to end the game right there. There's no point in having an 8-point lead. Henry's going to get the 2 yards.
I mean, I think if you're the Texans, I don't think if you're the Texans, it's as simple as don't look at the other team, look at your team. Are you better on offense or defense?
Fair enough, yeah.
Your defense is trash. Yeah. Like you saw Deshaun Watson in overtime when they lost the toss, basically concede the game. Like he was like, oh my God, we just lost. Like you saw him react that way. If you have Deshaun Watson and you think he's a top 10 quarterback, you let him throw the ball. And it was open. Like if Jeffrey Simmons doesn't make a perfect play of dropping back and knocking it down, they're up 9 points and the game's over.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened with their defense. They got driven right down the field on. So, I mean, like, to me, it's just, do you trust your quarterback more or your defense? If I am a defensive team, I kick the extra point.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm the Bucs, I kick the extra point. Like, you're not going to go down and get 8 points on me in a minute 20. But if I'm the Texans, I know what's about to happen, especially if Ryan Tannehill on the other side.
I didn't hate the call. I was just like, I think I would trust my defense for the one play to stop a 2-point conversion. I don't know. Because I feel like if you miss that, they're definitely going to overtime. I was like, it's definitely going to overtime if you miss that 2-point conversion.
I just think there's three things that have to go right if you kick the extra point. You have to make the extra point. You have to then stop Tennessee's 2-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if you don't get it, like, Tennessee still had to make the extra point, which they had already, you know, missed a couple this year and had been bad in the kicking game. So I'm just like, you know what? Even if we don't get it, they're still gonna have to make an extra point to tie the game, and that isn't automatic for Tennessee right now. So I just looked at it as like, if it works, it looks like a brilliant move, and that's what I do. Like I said, that's what I do in Madden. I go for it, whether or not a head coach should be doing that. I was surprised that Romeo Crennel was doing it. His old ass.
I have an elite Madden defense. I kick it.
Sounds like you're not confident in your 2-point conversion defense.
I'm usually not even in those situations, so I've never had to do that on Madden. But get the smoke if you want it. But yeah, no, I wasn't mad at that. It's like the same thing with like the Washington Giants game. It's like, I'm not mad at this decision, but like
riverboat run.
It's just like
Kyle Allen could have ran the ball in at first.
He could have. He was just it's Kyle Allen. Like,
yeah,
that's my thing. Is like, yeah.
I was like, oh God.
Now, honestly, in that situation, I would kick the extra point probably just because
when you have two offenses that aren't very good,
right?
You go to overtime.
Yeah, like I'm waiting for Daniel Jones to try to make a mistake. Like right. That's probably what I would have done. It's not like you have an offense that could have scored there, and I'm not even playing the results there. I'm just looking and saying like that's. You scored 19 points that game. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're going to just go in and score another one. And, like, you gave the Giants 7 by dropping the ball. Like, it's not like their offense was doing anything. But I thought that was a really fun game. The Titans move on to 5-0. First time in team history, a 300-yard passer and 200-yard rusher. Go ahead and add in a 100-yard receiver, too, with Anthony Firkser. Like, you had the Titans scoring over 30 points again. That's what they do. That's what they've done pretty much, I want to say,
every game but the first game, right?
Well, I was going to say, even since Tannehill took over, there's only been a couple times they've been held under 30. They just kind of keep rolling on offense. And, you didn't see many nerds talking about Derrick Henry yesterday. Last week it was, well, he only had 50 yards. He only had 50 yards against the Bills as you won 42-16. He only had 50 yards. You paid him all that money for 50 yards. And then yesterday, 212 on the ground and another 50. Receiving.
He had more yards than the whole Jets offense yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
How is Adam Gase still have a job right now?
Because right now Adam Gase is their biggest asset. They want to get the number one pick, and the best way to get the number one pick is to keep losing, and the best way to lose is to have Adam Gase on your team.
The interims almost went 2-0 yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. So like close. you don't fire him. You just let Adam Gase keep doing your thing. Keep doing his thing. Tennessee sports betting is almost here. FanDuel will be going live at the end of next week. Go sign up and register and verify your account early for a free $50 in free site credit. Use the promo code TALKSPORTS. Go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get signed up. Get verified. Give us credit by using the promo code TALKSPORTS, one word, and get $50 in free money Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. We'll talk more NFL. We'll do headlines. Scrapping the radio guest just because I don't want to talk Vols. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
MyBookie.